And for the rest of us, let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I appreciate you adults not trying to sneak through and get within that age bracket. Thanks for staying. We're in 1 John chapter 4. And as we continue studying through this book, our text this morning will be verses 1 through 6 of 1 John chapter 4. So let's turn there, please, and we'll begin by reading our text. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful morning that you've given us together. Thank you for the blessing that it is to our souls just to be able to worship you in song and in our giving. Thank you for those spiritual blessings. Thank you for warm fellowship, Lord, with like-minded believers. And Lord, as we open your word now, we pause to ask for the help and guidance of your spirit. Lord, we know that he is the one who is sent to guide us into all truth, and we are completely dependent upon him to be able to rightly understand and apply the spiritual truth of your word. And we pray that he would indeed work in our midst today to communicate your word, to understand it, and then to respond with obedience and faith. Please bless in the children's church hour. Pray that you'd help the Hudsons as they minister to those children, and may they Lord, have open hearts to receive your word, and that you just continue drawing them to you, and for those that have already put their faith in you, that you would just raise them up, Lord, to serve you throughout the whole of their lives and never waste a day living in sin or living for self, but just to be sold out to live for Christ. We pray that you'd help us to honor you throughout the remainder of this service and throughout the whole of this Lord's Day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you love someone, you care for them. You care for their well-being. You want them to be protected, of course, physically. But for those of us who are Christians, we want to care for others spiritually. We want them to be protected. Well, if you go to the very first word of verse 1, John, as he continues writing this letter, he once again addresses his readers, his audience, as beloved. And when he gives that word, he is reminding them that they are beloved of God, their loved ones, but also that John himself loved them. Well, because John loved these believers, he cared for them, he wanted to watch out for their spiritual well-being. And so in this text, he wants to warn his original audience, as well as us through God's word today, of a particular danger that would threaten our spiritual well-being. And it could be summarized this way: the danger of spiritual deception. If you look back at the last verse of the preceding chapter, there John, in the last sentence of the verse, he says, "Hereby we know that he, that is God Christ, abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So he's told us that it's by God's Spirit that we know that God abides or lives in us and with us. But as John continues now into chapter 4, he explains that God's Spirit is not the only spirit at work in this world. There are other spirits at work in our midst in this world. You see, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in this world. He's working to convict the lost of their need for Jesus Christ. He's working to comfort believers who are in Jesus Christ. But just as the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, so there are unholy spirits. There are demonic spirits who are in this world seeking to blind those that are lost, to keep them from coming to Christ, and then to deceive believers to lead them away from Jesus Christ and away from the truth. John explains, he says, "Believe not every spirit, because there are many false prophets gone out into this world." There are many false spirits in these last days that are leading many to depart from the faith. We are living in what we believe to be the time of the great falling away, the great apostasy, the great defection from the truth. And 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So the Holy Spirit is at work, but then there are seducing spirits that are trying to pull believers away from the truth and trying to keep unbelievers from coming to the truth. They're spiritually deceiving people. Now, just as the Holy Spirit speaks through the inspired Word of God, as well as through Spirit-indwelt men of God, so verse 1 helps us to understand that these evil spirits that are gone out into the world speak through false prophets or false teachers. We do not see spirits. We do not hear spirits directly, but just as the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God and through people who are Spirit-filled, these seducing spirits are embodied in false prophets or false teachers who speak error, who deny the person and work of Jesus Christ, who deny the Word of God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets who are led and even controlled by these evil spirits are gone out into the world. Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and many shall follow their evil ways." Jude in verse 3 said that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's not a new or another testament of Jesus Christ. It has been once delivered. Why should we earnestly contend for that faith? Because there are certain men led by these seducing spirits, crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or unbridled lust, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning for our message, we're going to consider a topic together. We're going to consider this topic, overcoming spiritual deception. Or we could say 3 D's in overcoming spiritual deception. And what we learned this morning obviously is going to encourage us to beware of the spiritual deception that is out there, but also to see how we can overcome that spiritual deception so that we don't become a casualty in these last days, so that we're not among those who depart from the faith, who give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, but those who remain faithful to the Word of God and to the Son of God until we see Him face to face. We want to be faithful to the end in following Christ. So let's note those 3 D's in overcoming spiritual deception. We'll note from our text, first of all, the discerning, secondly, the defeating, and then thirdly, the discriminating. So go back to verse 1 again, and we see this thought, the discerning. John says, "Beloved, beloved, I love you. Because I love you, I want to warn you about a danger. I want you to be protected from something that is going to try to pull you away from the truth in Jesus Christ. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Now, while we must receive and believe the convincing work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God John warns us that we must not believe every spirit that claims to be speaking for God. Because just as Jesus warned, there are many false prophets, many false teachers who are gone out into the world, and they are falsely claiming to be speaking for God. In Matthew 24, Jesus describes many of the characteristics of the last days leading up to his return. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. For there shall be false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everybody that claims to have a message from God. And there are multitudes today that do. I mean, you know, don't go to YouTube if you want to, you know, understand true theology and understand the scriptures. There are many, and they call themselves prophets even. And they've got an opinion on just about everything going on in the world. But John says, hey, you better be careful that you don't believe just anyone claiming to speak for God, because many of these false prophets are gone out into the world and they are led by evil spirits. And so John tells us to do something. In the middle of verse 1, he says, but don't believe every spirit, but try, that is, prove or test and discern whether a spirit is truly from God. Find out, you need to prove and test whether this message or this messenger is really bringing a message from God, or whether they are in fact seduced by an evil spirit. Now, Jesus warned us that these false prophets and false teachers would come, and he also told us how we could discern or how we could prove or test these men and their message. And the way he told us to do that is that these false prophets would be known, they would be perceived, they would be discerned by their fruits. Their fruit. That is, the things that these false teachers say and do. And also the fruit of thoughts, words, and actions which spring from their teaching. In Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." If a teaching or a teacher's lifestyle is of the flesh, if it leads to fleshly, carnal, unbridled lust, unholy, ungodly living, that fruit proves that it's not a message of the Holy Spirit, it's a message of false spirits. If it breeds the flesh, it is not sound teaching. If the teacher does not live a godly, holy life, you can mark it down. That's not a true teacher. So Jesus told us how we can prove them when he warned us. It might also help us not to be spiritually deceived to understand how not to discern false teachers. How should we not determine whether a person is true or false? A preacher by the name of Jim Shetler, some of you would recognize that name, very godly preacher of the Word of God, and he actually addressed this specific topic on how not to test the spirits. I think it's very appropriate. He said, number one, not by the sound of it. Not by the sound of it. That is, we don't determine whether or not a message is from God or of the devil based on whether or not the speaker is eloquent. We're not looking for eloquence, charisma, volume, or any of these external things. If you determine that something is true because the speaker is merely eloquent, or they have charisma about their personality, or they use much volume, or low volume, very subtle speech, that's not the determining factor. That's not how you discern it. And many, unfortunately, are deceived by that. Romans 16 tells us that there are false teachers who by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We don't discern them by the sound of it. Secondly, not by the sincerity of it. You know, it is possible for someone to be sincerely wrong. And not every false teacher, by the way, is knowingly and consciously seeking to deceive. They themselves may be deceived, and they are sincere in what they're teaching, but sincerity is not the determining factor. Someone said, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. Oh, no. That is not the determining factor. It is not sincerity, and there is also such thing as pretended sincerity. So it's not by the sound of it, it's not by the sincerity of it, it's not by the scores that believe it. Someone says, well, everybody believes this, so it must be true. We could find a lot of things that might fit into that category that absolutely are not true. Brother Shetler gave the illustration of Micaiah versus the majority in 1 Kings 22. All these false prophets were giving a message claiming to be speaking for the Spirit of God, but they were all lying. There was only one man, Micaiah, speaking a message from the true Spirit of God. And if you based your determination on whether who was speaking the truth by which one was in the majority or the scores that believed it, you'd be deceived in that situation. And by the way, Ahab was, and it cost him his life. And then fourthly, he said, it's not by the supernatural results from it. Someone says, well, this man or this woman, this prophetess must be true. I mean, they work miracles. They work signs and wonders. Satan himself is an imitator. He works wonders. He's bringing one on the scene who perhaps maybe is already alive, one who's going to work great signs and wonders and deceive many. So Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. We're not to test them by their sound or sincerity or by the scores who believe it or even by the supernatural results. Another truth we need to consider is that we do not discern error by studying every false doctrine, every cult, or every ism which infiltrates or infects professing Christianity. How do we discern error? Is it our responsibility as Christians to, you know, keep up with all the cults that are out there and to study through every cult and every ism that's there so that we can know the truth and not be deceived? Oh, no. Now, there are many, unfortunately, who have fallen to that way of thinking, but that is not scriptural. Instead, we discern error by studying and knowing the truth. And whatever does not bear certain traits and whatever does not match up with the real thing is to be rejected as error. Many have given the illustration of bank tellers or those who are responsible for detecting fraud. They point out that someone who is looking for genuine dollar bills or $100 bills and whatever they might represent, that they discern those things not by studying all the possibilities of forgery and fakes and frauds, but by knowing the real thing. They are taught to identify the true marks of the real thing. And whatever does not bear the marks of the real thing is rejected as false. One preacher observed here, the doctrines and practice of all religious teachers should be tried by the Word of God. If they agree with this, they should be received. And if not, should be rejected. Hence the right and the duty of all men to be acquainted with the Word of God, that they might rightly judge and act in this matter. In other words, if you're not going to be deceived by error, you had better know the truth. Now, you don't have to keep up with all the isms, but if you know the truth, you know that whatever doesn't line up with this book is to be rejected. Psalm 17:4, the psalmist said, "By the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Psalm 119:98, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." Jesus said we are to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. How do we have that wisdom? Through the word of God, not by studying every error that's out there. "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And then Romans 16:19, Paul said, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul warned of false teachers who by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The very next verse, which I just read, verse 19, there Paul, as he warns these Roman believers to beware of false teachers who serve their own lusts, they deceive by good words and fair speeches, Paul also tells these believers to guard their obedience, to be wise or knowledgeable of that which is good, and to remain simple concerning evil. You don't have to delve into all the evil to understand and recognize it as such. We need to be careful that we do not let Satan plant seeds of doubt in our minds through the intellectually proud and unwise and ill-advised study of error. Someone says, "Well, I want to know this. I want to find out what, you know, all these cults and things are teaching." You'd better be careful, because what you may put in your mind through innocency, at least you're not trying to study it to believe it, you're still planting seeds, you're putting thoughts in your mind, and at a point of weakness, Satan may use that to deceive you. And unfortunately, many have done that. So we don't discern error, we don't prove the spirits by studying every false doctrine, cult, or ism. It's simply unnecessary. In fact, it's ill-advised. It is dangerous. Now let's get back to our text. One of the primary errors that was facing the church and John's day at this time period was the false teacher's denial of Jesus' incarnation. Okay, there was a false teacher by the name of Cerinthus. Okay, he was the father of what would later become known as the Gnostics. And they taught this, that all matter, that is all physical things, were evil. That there was no redemption for it. Anything physical was evil. And therefore, based on that, their logic told them then that it was impossible then for Jesus to have come in a physical body. Because if all physical things are evil, then obviously the Son of God could not come in the likeness of human flesh. Well, that was an error. That was a lie. This was, again, the primary lie that was deceiving people at this time period. And so John, in verses 2 and 3, then helps these believers how to specifically discern the false prophets and false teachers at that time. And it was this: they're to test the spirits by what they say about the incarnation, the coming in flesh of the Son of God. That is, do they confess that Jesus Christ is come in human flesh? Those who do not confess this are false teachers. They are deceived, and they are deceiving by lying spirits. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." We sang about it this morning. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. John wrote in his first letter, the Gospel of John, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." We believe that Jesus Christ is God come in human flesh. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness." What is godliness? It is God's likeness being revealed in human flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God himself was manifest in the flesh. And though there are other areas where false teachers may deny the truth, we learn here that it is primarily what they say about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ which reveals them most clearly. These people denied that Jesus was God come in human flesh. Others will say he's merely a man. He's not God in human flesh. He's just human flesh. Both are errors. We believe that he is the God-man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. If Jesus had not come in flesh and blood, he could not have been the sacrificial Lamb of God, but he is eternal and he came in the flesh. Someone said, only as man could he bear our sins, and only as God could he bear our sins away. He had to come as a man in order to die, but he was God. He was sinless. He was without sin. He was God, and he therefore was able not simply to cover, but to take our sins away. Gregory of Nazianzus said this. He said, Christ hungered as man and fed the hungry as God. He was hungry as a man, and yet he is the bread of life. He was athirst as man, and yet he says, let him that is athirst come to me and drink. He was weary, and he is our rest. He pays tribute and is a king. He is called a devil and casts out devils. He prays and hears prayer. He weeps and dries our tears. Is sold for 30 pieces of silver and redeems the world. Is led as a sheep to the slaughter and is the good shepherd. We discern false teachers ultimately by what they say about Jesus Christ. By the way, what do you say about Jesus Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Someone said he was either a lunatic or he was Lord. He was either the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him, or he was a liar. And you've got to decide who he is and receive him for who he is. Do you believe that he is God come in human flesh? The discerning of these evil spirits. Secondly, and quickly, there's the defeating of these spirits. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. While it is to be understood that he that's in the world, that is the devil, who is the father of lies, and the demons which follow him, it's to be understood that they are greater than we. They're more powerful than we are. But he that is in us, that is the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he is far greater than the devil. And therefore, if we're going to defeat spiritual deception, if we're to overcome spiritual deception, we must depend upon the Spirit of God through the Word of God. We cannot overcome spiritual deception and the devil and his wiles in our own strength. You try that, you're going to get licked. You see, it's as we depend upon the Spirit of God and allow him to guide us into the truth of the Word of God. And as he gives us the ability to discern error, to know the truth, we'll be enabled to remain faithful to Christ. This again means that a person who is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if you've never been born again, you are in danger of being spiritually deceived. In fact, you presently are deceived until God opens your eyes and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The god of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. You must be indwelt by the Spirit. You must be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, the Lord said this, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, that had to do with Zerubbabel's rebuilding the temple, but it has to do with our spiritual work and our spiritual warfare today. It's still not by might and it's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God. We've got to be born again. We've got to be indwelt by the Spirit. We've got to be Spirit-filled, living our lives yielded to the Spirit of God. A carnal, disobedient Christian who's grieving the Spirit is in danger of spiritual deception. And there are perhaps many who are genuine believers, but they've been living in disobedience to the Lord for so long. They've been walking in the flesh that they have become deceived. They've been literally taken captive by the devil to do his will. That's a frightening thing. Are you Spirit-filled this morning? Paul told us in Ephesians 6, "Brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil." Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Are you putting on your spiritual armor? Say, well, I'm not going to be deceived in these last days, but I spend the majority of my time staring at a computer, watching a television, staring at a cell phone, reading in the, no, nobody reads the newspaper, but, you know, I spend a few minutes a day reading the Bible if I get around to it. Friend, you better get around to it quickly. We've got to be putting on the armor of God if we're going to overcome spiritual deception in these last days. It's becoming perhaps more subtle than ever. It's certainly more prevalent than ever. And we had better be putting on our spiritual armor if we want to defeat and overcome spiritual error. Are you reading God's Word each and every day? Are you praying in the Spirit? Are you yielded to the Holy Spirit? Finally, there's this thought, the discriminating, or you could say the differentiating in verse 5. John said, "They are of the world. And therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." In verses 5 and 6, John further explains how we as Christians may discriminate or differentiate between the spirit of the world, between the spirit of God, and those who follow each respectively. False teachers, they, and those who listen to them are of the Antichrist spirit of the world, which again is ultimately of the devil. False teachers speak of the world. It means that their teaching comes from, it's sourced in a worldly spirit. That's where it comes from. It comes from the spirit of this world, which is opposed to God, to His Son Jesus Christ, and to righteousness. Well, because those speakers, those false prophets, those false teachers speak of the world, their message is sourced in the world, then worldly people, those who live under the dominion of this world system, are drawn to that kind of teaching because it appeals to their basic lusts. That's what they want to hear. And the devil knows that, and the false teachers know that, and so they give a message that appeals to the flesh. They're of the world, and they speak of the world, and the world hears them. In contrast to this, in verse 6, John explains that we, that would first of all apply to himself and the other true apostles, but it also would apply to true teachers, we are of God. And those who are of God, those who are of the truth, hear and are drawn to their teaching. John 18:37, Jesus said, "To this end," or "for this purpose was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So those that are of the world listen to the world in a worldly message. And those who listen to the Lord and to His Word, the truth, show that they're of the Lord. So a primary discriminating factor, a way by which we can differentiate between those who are of the world and those who are of the Lord, is their appetite for the truth. God's children, those who are born again, have an instinctive appetite for God's Word. Just as any healthy newborn child has an appetite for its mother's milk, so everyone that's born again by the incorruptible Word of God has a supernatural desire and hunger for the Word of God. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." A few verses later, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So those born of God, those who are of God, have an appetite for the Word of God. Those who are not of God have no appetite for God's Word. They have no real desire to hear it. They would rather listen to something else. May I ask you, which group are you in? See, I'm in church today. That is wonderful, and I'm glad that every person is here. And I believe we're here because we want to be. But do you have a real appetite for the truth? Not a message that appeals to your flesh, but a message that calls you out of the world, out of worldliness, to walk with God in the world. John R.W. Stott said this, "You can recognize God's Word because God's people listen to it, just as you can recognize God's people because they listen to God's Word." Finally, there's a general principle here. There's a good life principle seen in verses 5 and 6, and it's this, that what a person talks about and what they listen to reveals who they really are. Words disclose a person's desires, their purpose, and their beliefs. This is true in politics, by the way. And I would encourage you, if you've not already voted, you ought to vote. And when you vote, you need to consider their message. What are they saying? Because that's going to help you discern whether they're a deceiver or telling the truth. What do they say about religious freedom? What do they say about our nation's relationship to the nation of Israel? God said, "I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee." What do they say about the home, the family? There are so many things by which we can discern what a person believes. What is their purpose? Are they woke and yet asleep in sin? Or is it a message of truth? Is it a message of truth? Don't be deceived. They're of the world. They're going to speak of the world, and the world's going to hear them. That's not us. You better be careful. What we talk about shows what we're all about. And we are either of the spirit of this world, or we are of the spirit of the Lord. We're either of the spirit of this age, or we are of the spirit of Jesus Christ. What do you talk about? Who hears you? Who do you listen to? Whose message are you feeding on? Is it one of truth? Or is it one of lies and deception? Psalm 1, verse 1 says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Titus chapter 2 tells us that the grace of God teaches every person to whom it has appeared, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Are we listening to God's grace? Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's not fall prey to spiritual deception, or any kind of deception for that matter. Let's consider, let's hear the message. What's being said? What do they say about murdering innocent babies? What do they say about that? Let's not be deceived. In these last days, when many are being deceived by the Antichrist spirit of this world, let's give our ears and our hearts to hear the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Lord, we thank You for Your truth. Thy Word is truth. We're thankful that we can receive it, every bit of it. We don't have to filter it out. We don't have to wonder whether it's fake news or whether it's error and lies and deception. We can take the pure Word of God and drink it in and let it bring nourishment to our souls and cleansing and healing to our lives. I pray You'd help us, Lord, in these last days when many are turning away their ears from the truth. They're not enduring sound doctrine. They're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they are being turned unto fables. God, give us an appetite for the Word of God. Help us to hear Your message. Help us to discern the messages that we hear, Lord, and not to fall prey to deception in any area, that we may stand true to You and to Your Word until our King returns and we stand before Him to give an account of ourselves. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question. Have you been born again into the family of God? Do you have a real appetite for the Bible, for God's Word, giving evidence that you are indeed of God? Maybe you're here this morning and you'd have to answer that question honestly by saying, no, I do not have a real appetite for the Word of God. I don't believe that I've ever been born again. Would you today be willing to receive Jesus Christ? Would you turn from the world's lies and put your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the way and who is the truth and who is the life? In a moment, we'll have an invitation and I'll be standing down front. And if you're here today and you're not saved or you're not certain, you don't have 100% assurance that you're God's child, I would invite you to come forward and let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved and to know that you're God's child today. Christian, are you exercising discernment in the things that you hear, the things that you talk about? Are you growing in the knowledge of God's Word so that you'll be able to discern and not be deceived by the world's lies? Where are you plugged in? Are you connected to the Word of God every day? Are you holding tightly to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you depending upon the Holy Spirit and putting on the armor of God each day as you face your spiritual battles? And are you walking in the Spirit of the Lord and rejecting the spirit of this world? I'm going to say, preacher, God has challenged my heart this morning, and by His grace, I'm going to give myself more fully to the Word of God. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to heed the world's message. I'm going to heed the message of the Word of God. And by His grace, I'm going to be faithful until His return. If that's your heart this morning, would you raise your hand? Say, yes, preacher, that's me. Amen. Lord, thank You for speaking to hearts today. May Your Word have recourse in us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand, please. And I would ask our pianist to play hymn 391. And this is not necessarily a quiet invitation song, but just for this first part of the invitation, with our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here and you're not saved, I would invite you to come right now. Just slip out of your seat and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Or maybe you say, I put my faith in Christ, but I just don't have full assurance of that. Would you let us take the Bible and show you how to get that assurance today?